taken from Acts chapter 17, 2 verses 26 and 27. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, Reverend Chok, please.
Good morning. The belief that everything exists for a purpose suggests that all beings, objects, and events have a reason for existence. In other words, there is an underlying purpose or meaning. For example, the designer or manufacturer of a product has his intention when making a product. Likewise, as human beings made by God in his own image, we are inherently of great value, and God certainly has his purpose in creating us. Purpose is essential. It is an essential part of human being. Without purpose, all things you do would be meaningless. And to discern this purpose, we need to understand God's intention in creating us and his plan for us, as well as his mission in our life. Some of you may have very distinct giftings, talents, or have gone through specialized training which you hope to optimize, not just to earn a living, but hopefully to have some lasting impact. Or on the other hand, you may be doubtful whether you could be of contribution, living a hectic life without any sense of direction. Perhaps you're wondering, is there really something that God would want to achieve through you? At your present stage in life, how do you discern God's purpose or his mission for you? With that in mind, we would like to consider three aspects of our passage today. First of all, divine design. And secondly, divine positioning. Finally, divine purpose. If everything exists for a reason, then we need to find out the reason God has created us with our characteristics to discern his purpose for our lives. And to begin, let's look at the context of our passage today. Acts chapter 17 begins with Paul preaching in the synagogue in Thessalonica, with a focus on the resurrection of Jesus. And out of jealousy, the Jews stirred up a mob against him, forcing him and Silas to leave for Berea. And there he met a group of seekers who searched the scriptures daily to verify Paul's message, resulting in many conversions. However, persecutors from Thessalonica caught up with him, forcing him to flee to Athens. And in Athens, Paul was distressed by the Athens' rampant idolatry and debated with the philosophers in the marketplace, referring to an altar dedicated to an unknown god. Paul started to explain the Creator God and the resurrection, challenging polytheism and pluralism, and urging them to repent. Acts chapter 17 marks a crucial shift from preaching to the Jews initially in the synagogue, to cross-cultural ministry in Athens. Being part of a multicultural society in Singapore, I believe there is much that we could learn from today's passage. And let us now just begin by examining the first aspect of these two verses. First of all, divine design. Verse 26 tells us that God created all nations from one man, Adam. In other words, all human genealogies converge on a common ancestor. All of us came from Adam and Eve and are all part of the same race, the human race. Despite our different ethnicities, languages, and cultural backgrounds, we are all made by God as descendants of Adam. And we are all in need of redemption. We may ask ourselves, do we see other races as part of us? There are so many different races, different color, different languages. Do we see them as part of us? Most of us don't think that we are racist. If I were to ask you, are you racist? I don't expect any one of you to raise your hand. We don't think we are. Especially in Singapore, which is a multicultural society. And our government has devoted a lot of effort in promoting racial harmony to build a closely knitted nation, regardless of race, language, or religion. It shows how important it is, but it also reflects something. It reflects that there is an inherent preference for our own kind. That's why there needs to be so much effort in trying to promote unity and harmony. Subconsciously, we may be guilty of racial stereotyping. Why do I say that? Why do I say so? Thinking, for example, some of us, we may have impression that some people of a certain race are very materialistic, very business-minded, very greedy in that sense, materially. And some other races, we consider them as very shrewd, very cunning, very unpredictable. And there are still some other race that we may think they are very complacent, just not wanting to move. There are people that we tend to avoid. But that should not be the case. Imagine this world like a big jigsaw puzzle. Every piece is unique, and yet every single piece is needed to complete the whole picture. In the same way, when united, our differences make the world beautiful and strong. As we appreciate and learn from one another and grow together, you find that the world is a different place. And this actually applies to our church as well. There are three congregations. Despite our different languages and subcultures, we belong to one another. We are one church. And we are stronger if we are united. Acts chapter 17, verse 26, challenges us to live in harmony, not just within our own kind, our own race. It calls us to set aside prejudice, hatred, and division, and instead treat each other with respect and love. When we understand that regardless of race, we are all part of the same family, it becomes easier to build meaningful relationships and to work together for a common good. This is also in line with the greatest commandment which Jesus teaches us. Love your neighbor as yourself. Next slide, please. Yep. In addition, verse 26 also highlights the aspect of divine positioning. The Christian concept of divine positioning refers to God intentionally placing individuals in specific situation, roles, and location to fulfill his purpose. God determines the appointed time, the rise and fall, and the boundaries of nations. All individuals are placed in their specific time and place on purpose. This includes the movement of people due to all kinds of different circumstances, ranging from voluntary migration as workers seek opportunities in the context of globalization and urbanization, or forced migration. You're forced to migrate, where refugees are driven by conflict, famine, and persecution. Despite all kinds of sinful factors causing migration, God is ultimately sovereign. The migration of people is not by accident. There is a sovereign God who has a purpose of human history and placement. The book of Proverbs says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." So besides creating the people of all ethnicities in the world, God also determined their places of residence. There are people living in USA, those in Africa, some in Indonesia, others in India, or even in Singapore. You probably have experienced this before. While on vacation overseas, immersing yourself in a beautiful scenery, and suddenly you hear someone speaking in Singlish. Very familiar, and the voice is even more familiar. And to your amazement, it was someone you know, but could hardly meet in Singapore. Singapore is so small, but yet you hardly meet, right? But when you're overseas, you know, and immediately there's the sense of bonding and as you catch up with each other in Singlish, especially when you're in a foreign land. You may marvel at such so-called coincidence. But to God, there is no coincidence. Some people like to use the term fate. The Chinese equivalent, yuan fen, ming yun, fate, to describe such similar situations. There's actually a more appropriate term. The term is destiny. It centers on God's sovereign plan for the world and human history, characterized by purposeful alignment with his will and human active participation through free will. In the concept of the Chinese thinking, fate, human being actually has no part in it. You're very passive. Things happen. You have no control of it. But in the concept of destiny, we have the responsibility of free will. We choose to respond to the situation that we are in. In God's sovereignty, God has pre-arranged purpose for our lives, right? Of which we have the free will to respond instead of passively waiting for things to happen. Unlike fate, destiny is a purposeful plan designed by God. On our part, whatever our situation, whether in terms of where we live, our job, our identity, or social circle, God has a role and purpose for us to fulfill. Have you ever wondered, why are you in your present position? Think about it. Why are you in this position and not in other position? Why are you in Singapore and not in Ukraine, Iran? We are all quite familiar with the story of Joseph. Despite his brother's evil intention to get rid of him, God sovereignly placed him in a high position equivalent to a prime minister in Egypt, not for his own personal elevation, but to preserve his family, which is the household of Jacob, which subsequently became the nation of Israel. In his wisdom, Joseph looked back and he discerned, and he told his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Under God's sovereignty, Joseph was able to influence Egypt and saved many nations, including Israel, because of divine positioning. Another example is Queen Esther. Esther was placed in a special position to deliver her people, the Israelites, in a moment of crisis when Haman plotted to destroy the Jews. The significance of her position was highlighted just as Mordecai reminded Esther. Who knows? Maybe you were made queen for just such a time as this. In other words, God made you queen for this purpose. There is a purpose. Her divine positioning allowed her to save an entire nation. Every Christian at different life stages has a divine position to fulfill God's purpose. It reflects God's sovereignty in providing opportunities and guidance through situations, through relationships, according to his eternal plan. The question is, do we sense and submit to the divine position God has placed us to fulfill his purpose and to advance his kingdom? Perhaps in your heart, you may be thinking, "Oh, Reverend Chua, be realistic." You are not PM material like Joseph. You are certainly not a queen like Esther with authority and noble position. Furthermore, your ability is limited. And with no spectacular status to speak of, how could you achieve or accomplish God's purpose? Influence is not always about personal talent or charisma, although we do see that in the world today. And it is regardless of social standing. Just as in the case of an unnamed girl in 2 Kings chapter 5. In this passage, 2 Kings chapter 5, we are told of Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army. He was infected with leprosy. And at that time, there was a young Israelite girl who was a captive servant. In other words, he's actually being captured and made a slave. And this girl was in his household, serving his wife. Despite his low status, very low, a slave, and in this whole passage, there was no mention of her name at all. So you can imagine, really someone who is nobody, right, so to speak. But her suggestion led Naaman to seek the prophet Elisha, who delivered God's healing. Without her position in the household, Naaman would have remained sick. He would not have been healed. And amazingly, upon his recovery, Naaman declared, and this is why he said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Your servant," referring to himself, "will never again make burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other God but the Lord." And it is because of this unnamed girl that such a declaration was made, such a change of mindset, such a change of heart. So don't undervalue where you are. God uses both the palace and the prison to accomplish his plans. God can use any position to fulfill his purpose, even the lowly. Whether in the palace or in the prison, in a high-ranking position or an ordinary one, remember this, you are not there by accident. Where you are is not by accident. God places people where they need to be for his glory and for his purpose. Perhaps some of us may be concerned about your real condition or situation, perhaps of your age, maybe because of your health condition. And as such, you may be thinking, if it were 10 years earlier, it might be possible. When I'm healthier, when I'm stronger. But now, with health deteriorating or energy level decreasing, how could God use me? Some of us may wonder, in my present state, it's unlikely that God would use me. An elderly lady who lives opposite our church got to know us through the visitation team from CC. And she accepted Christ after attending our church and was baptized in year 2015, about 11 years ago. And as she got older, her body became weak and she needs someone to take care of her. She's no longer mobile. So last year, she employed an Indonesian domestic helper who would push her on a wheelchair to church. And one Wednesday, while coming for the morning drink organized by our church, the domestic helper accepted Christ. 2 months ago, she was baptized in this pool in Grace Church. And the elderly lady, she's 88 years old. At different stages in life, even in old age or poor health, she was not mobile, but she could help an Indonesian domestic helper come to know Christ. God has his purpose in placing where we are. Where are you right now? Have you ever asked God why he has positioned you in this place, in this role? This leads us to our final point, divine purpose. Have you ever wondered, why are you in Singapore? Of course, you hope you're not in the war zone. But why are you in Singapore? Some of us migrated here. Some even became Christians after coming to Singapore. Verse 26 emphasizes God's sovereignty over our divine positioning. And the purpose in so doing is stated in verse 27, the following verse. This is what it says. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. Ultimately, God wants us to seek him, because God is the source of life, and only in Christ can our sins be forgiven so that we may have a new life, a life that is meaningful and abundant. Hence, we need to see our situation from the perspective of God's purpose. Some of you may know our church caretaker, Xiao Bing. Have you met him? Okay, a number of you know him, right? He's in charge of the cleanliness of the church. And do you know where he came from? All the way from China. And God, in his sovereignty, placed him to work in Grace Church. There are many restrictions in his hometown when it comes to religion. They could not gather freely, they could not worship freely, they could not share the gospel freely. But here, he came to know and accept Christ. And he was baptized in Grace Church in 2023. The scripture reminds us that God created and placed us so we could seek him. You may be thinking, as Christians, this passage has already been fulfilled, right? What is there for us to note? But actually, these two verses are also true for unbelievers. God wants unbelievers to seek him. Since all of humanity shares a common ancestry, we are all relatives, unbelievers, people of other ethnic groups. We are all relatives. And furthermore, since Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, all humankind, due to our sinful nature, we are in need of salvation. No one is an exception. And if we were to think a little deeper, this passage implies that God, through our position and situation, wants us to lead unbelievers to seek him, which is his ultimate purpose. Hence, as children of God, Christians have the responsibility to fulfill the mandate of leading others to salvation. Now, this may seem like a heavy burden. Some of us think that, oh, how could I do it? It's not possible. But don't be too quick to dismiss it as something impossible. Just as I've mentioned about the elderly lady who lived across our church. She's 88 years old. God placed her opposite our church so that she could seek him. And after accepting Christ, though physically weak, God, by his divine positioning, he brought an Indonesian domestic helper. And our elderly sister seized the opportunity to take her to church to seek God. No matter what situation, each of us has our own sphere of influence. Whether you are in the corporate world or in any relationship, be it a relationship between a supervisor and a subordinate, or an employer and a worker, a caregiver and a patient, parent and child, teacher and student, whatever your position or role, remember, you are in a sphere of mutual influence. Mutual is mutual. Not only do supervisors have influence on subordinates, the subordinate influence their supervisor. Not only do parents influence their kid, their children influence their parents. May we be a positive influence that will draw others to seek God. You are attending Grace Church today not by accident. Where you live, whether in Singapore or elsewhere, God has his plan. Your occupation, position, the organization, the department you are in, the neighborhood you live in, the family that you grew up in, and even your social network, those people you are connected in cyberspace, God has a purpose for us there as his witness. The redemptive ministry of Jesus has been entrusted to us. All believers are to seize the opportunities using our gifts and talents, our life testimony, to influence unbelievers to seek God and thus advancing God's kingdom. And in so doing, this is what it means to pass down the spiritual heritage. And this is what it means by spiritual succession. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We thank you because you have placed us in positions where you have a purpose for us to fulfill. Life is not meaningless where we are is not by accident. You have a plan, a higher calling for us to fulfill. We thank you for that. May you help us to discern that calling, that positioning, so that we will use it to influence others to seek you, that they themselves, they may be set free from the bondage of sin and enjoy the eternal blessing that you have intended for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.